What happens when science fiction becomes true? That's the kind of world that you and I are living in today. Just like traveling to the moon was thought of as only something that was depicted in science fiction comics and television, and then traveling to the moon became a reality, today you and I are seeing all sorts of new technological breakthroughs that are bringing about realities in our time now that just a couple years ago we would have said, oh, that's just science fiction, you know, Star Trek, Star Wars, Doctor Who. And today in our Faith in the Future series, we consider artificial intelligence. Let's say those two words together, artificial intelligence. In our culture, artificial intelligence conjures up a computerized smorgasbord of imaginative scenarios. From evil machines taking over the world and killing humanity, da-da, 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 da-da. Anyone know what movie that is? To other imaginative scenarios of an idealized world where human life is enriched and greatly extended and even radically altered. And yes, if you're wondering, that's like cyborgs, people who are part human and part machine. And there are people working on doing that to themselves right now. And yes, that's also the transhumanism movement, which is people who want to download their consciousness into computers and stuff so they can live forever. And yes, there are people working on that right now. All this stuff about AI, its threats, its benefits, is not just the chit-chat of a few off to the side. You've probably noticed people all around the world are talking about this new technology. The two most pressing questions about artificial intelligence are, if it is possible in the fullest sense, and when that might happen. Now, opinions vary, but many believe that so-called, quote, strong AI that has intelligence capabilities similar to ours, will happen in our lifetimes. While others say that super AI, which has abilities far beyond our own, intellectually and otherwise, the development of that is inevitable. Some say it may happen a lot sooner than we think. Super AI, way beyond us, strong AI, similar in ability to us. But it must be said there are Borg-sized, super-sized complications here. Can a machine be intelligent like we are? What does it even mean to be intelligent? What is intelligence? And when you look at a human being, all the ways and things that we can be and think, can a machine do all of that? One writer adds to the challenges here. There are complicated chicken and egg questions, philosophical and mechanical, about whether a machine could become truly self-aware, conscious, and whether we human beings would even be able to tell if it were. The AI chatbots of today have already demonstrated their ability to fool many people into thinking that they are human. Soon, most of us probably won't be able to tell either. Okay, so what does this have to do with God? What does this have to do with the Christian faith? Well, Christianity is intended to be a way of life, a way of love with God, with other people, and all of creation. So anything that will so permanently change and transform our world as AI necessarily has a lot to do with our faith. Now, this is a huge topic, so we cannot get into everything in this limited amount of time that we have. But here are three ideas about how AI will transform our world. And they're intended to percolate, to get your attention, to help you think through your response, your thoughts, to to artificial intelligence, to faith, and to life. Are you ready? Okay, idea number one. AI will supercharge our ability to live in echo chambers. Echo chambers. Let's say that together. Echo chambers. In an AI-driven society, all of our social media, our television, our radio, everything potentially has the ability to be super, 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 super tailored to just our personal views and our personal desires. So, literally, we will not have to consider any other perspectives. You notice this is already kind of a problem in the world. Now, despite misconceptions and lots of bad examples, the Christian is not called to live in an echo chamber. Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, sent his followers out into the world to share a message of love, to preach the gospel, but not to cut themselves off entirely from the world or silence all contrary points of view. The church needs to get out of its echo chambers, because so often over the centuries and the ages and today, we live in our own echo chambers. But in a time of AI especially, Christians need to get out into the world face to face with people. Why? To share the gospel? Yes. But also to listen and learn. So there's a danger of living in echo chambers, just with people and perspectives we agree with. Idea number two. AI will supercharge our ability to isolate ourselves. Isolate ourselves. Let's say that together. Isolate ourselves. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're already pretty good at this. Human beings, we are sinners, the scriptures teach. And sin is the tendency in human beings to drift away from God, away from healthy relationship with other people, and even to drift away from ourselves as we were created to be. Our current technology has already conditioned most of us toward isolation. Our current technology already conditions, encourages us toward isolation. And so the new AI-driven technology will be even more attractive, even more addictive than the current technologies that we have. It will be able to even more powerfully pull us away from the real faces of our children and our grandchildren, our friends and our spouses, to the very attractive, artificially created, mediated faces on our screens. Aliens! You know, if an alien came and observed us for a while, they might logically conclude that we worship these screens, that we worship these devices. Because organic beings tend to look at and stare at that which they value most. Think about two young people in love. Think about lovers. They're always looking at each other's faces. Or think about a mother with her baby. They're often, what? They're looking at each other's faces. And then think about us, always staring at our screens. AI will push others away from God. Some people will confuse AI with God. This is already happening. People are already talking about it that way. And so AI technology will make it harder for most people to give focused attention to God, especially without a device, or these will be devices soon, or implants, or whatever. AI technology will make it even harder for you and I to choose human, face-to-face community, especially the church. And so if you and I are not very deliberate, very intentional about our faith, and about the people in our lives who really matter to us, we will find ourselves increasingly, and here is the scary part, we will find ourselves increasingly, unknowingly, drifting into hyper-isolation. This weird thing where we're plugged into virtual stuff and online stuff and this and that, but really isolated from anyone face to face. So the danger of isolating ourselves. Idea number three. AI will supercharge our ability to weaken ourselves. Weaken ourselves. Let's say that together. Weaken ourselves. That's not all doom and gloom. AI will make our lives easier in a lot of ways, and that will be good. It's not all doom and gloom. In a lot of ways, AI will make our lives easier, and in many ways, this will be good. But the slippery slope is that we become so accustomed to letting AI do everything for us. Writing our emails, writing our sermons, not any of mine so far. Writing our thank you notes, raising our children, and people are already working on that. Telling us what's important, what we should be paying attention to. And so many other things that we will become weaker, we will become less vital, less aware, less able versions of ourselves. And this is in direct opposition to one of the major goals of the Christian life, which is to become a human being fully alive. So there's the danger of weakening ourselves. Anyone here heard of Sam Wells? He's a Church of England priest and thinker and author. Anyway, he has one simple way of starting to address some of these issues. Here's what he says. A simple test for whether innovations in AI are positive or negative. Do they strengthen, deepen, and enrich relationships? Or do they inhibit, evacuate, and dismantle them? A simple test for whether innovations in AI are positive or negative. Do they strengthen, deepen, and enrich relationships? Or do they inhibit, evacuate, and dismantle them? Artificial intelligence is here to stay. We can't wish it away. We can't say, oh, I'm so excited. We can, but it's coming. Whatever our feelings are about it, it's here to stay. But that does not change the calling that we all have as Christians, that is to become human beings fully alive. And to give the best of our attention, the best of our time, more to God and people than we do to devices. And yeah, to use technology, of course to use technology, but to use it wisely, thoughtfully, deliberately, so it does not rob us of the ability to be fully human. And now if we can do that with God's help and with each other's help, we will be able to receive the peace which Jesus talks about at the start of today's gospel lesson, the peace that comes from God. A peace that can dwell in our hearts and our minds, no matter the circumstances that we're facing, however awful or difficult or monotonous. The chaos of our lives, the chaos of our world, that peace can still be with us if we've done that deliberate, thoughtful, prayerful engagement with this new technology. That peace can still be ours, even in this chaotic world, even in a world overrun by artificial intelligence. Amen.